We are in the season of Pentecost, and I'm grateful for Ruth's message last week. And we're going to continue in the book of Acts, looking at the early church and its growth and its advancement, and how the Holy Spirit and the Father and Jesus were at work in the early church. Have you ever experienced a worldview change? A worldview change. Here's an example of a worldview change. On public transportation in Chicago, we would call the train the L, the elevated train, because at times it was elevated. Transportation in and out of Chicago was, and schools and businesses, was by the L. At the end of work days, the train would often be packed full of business people and students and people heading home, getting in and off the train. And as one of the trains was thinning out, it stopped at a station, and a father with six children entered the train. And the father sat down in a seat in front of a businessman, and his six children came in, and the father gazed out the window, and as if he was in a daze, he just kept gazing out the window. And his six children were all over the train. They were climbing into empty seats. They were moving about. They were playing a little bit of tag. A couple of the boys were trying to get the windows to come down. And sitting behind the dazed father was this businessman who was finding that he was getting angrier and angrier with this father for not controlling his children on the train. And the man was watching the kids move around and the father stare out the window, and he finally tapped the father on the shoulder and said, "Hey, look at your kids. They're climbing all over the train and disturbing the peace some of us want after a hard day's work. Do something, man." The father stopped his dazed look out the window, and he looked at his children in motion and then gently said to the man behind him, "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. We've just come from the hospital where my wife, their mother, died. I don't think they know what to do with themselves." The father further apologized, but the upset businessman had a quick change of worldview about the situation. Immediately, he felt tenderness towards this father who lost his wife and was now the solo father of six kids. He had a new view of the children with kinder emotions toward them and their movement around the train. He actually felt compassion for this family. That's a worldview change. In the book of Acts, it describes the followers of Jesus having a change of worldview about holiness after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, and they're being filled with the Holy Spirit. A worldview change about holiness. Over the years, over the centuries, actually, what were the Jewish people and the priests' common understanding about holiness before Jesus' death and resurrection? And this grew over years, but it's this: holiness is fragile, and it must be protected. Some of the view of the land of Israel was that it was more holy than any other land in the world. It was certainly more holy of where Jesus came from, Galilee of the Gentiles. The priests could not believe that the Messiah could come from Galilee of the Gentiles. And then in Israel, there were gradations of holiness. Jerusalem was viewed as more holy than the other Jewish lands in Israel. And the temple area was more holy than all the other Jewish lands. And there were even courts in the temple that had gradations of holiness in their thinking. The court for clean and healthy Jewish people and Gentile converts was on the outside. The court of the Gentiles, those who had been converted to the Jewish faith. And then there was the court of the women. Remember, Anna was in there praying, sometimes night and day. Then there was the court of the Israelite men. This is probably where Peter and John are going up to pray. There was a court of the priests that only priests could go into. It and it went all the way down to what we've learned is called the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was, and only one priest once a year could go in there and pray on behalf of the people and make sacrifices. It's supported by thinking about the story of the Good Samaritan. Why did the priest walk by the man who had been robbed and beat up and not touch him? Because if they touched him, they would be regarded as unclean and could not go into the temple courts. Or the 10 lepers. Remember, one of them was a Samaritan. And he came back to Jesus after he saw that he was healed. And he gave thanks and adoration to Jesus. He came back because he probably wouldn't have ever gotten in to the temple as a Samaritan. Or think about the Ethiopian eunuch that Philip witnessed to. He had gone up to Jerusalem as if he was spiritually drawn to the Jewish faith. In fact, he is reading the Jewish scriptures when Philip walks up beside him and listens to him and begins to instruct him in the scriptures. This man would not be considered a whole man and would not have been allowed into the temple courts. What holiness worldview was circulated among the Jews at the time of Jesus and Pentecost? Holiness is fragile. It has to be protected, and it can't be corrupted by sickness, disease, Samaritans, outsiders to the Jewish faith. The Holy of Holies only once a year. And a very thick curtain, probably a foot in thickness, was protecting the Holy of Holies. What happened to the curtain when Jesus died on the cross? Remember what the scripture says? It was ripped and torn in two from top to bottom. Something only God can do. It's as if God were proclaiming in Jesus and was now going to proclaim through his church, holiness is not fragile. And the book of Acts demonstrates that. When the Holy Spirit is active and Jesus is the head of his church, holiness is not fragile. It is loving towards others. It is bold. It is gracious and peaceful and patient and kind and full of self-control and desirous of serving Jesus' purposes in the world to every people group. No one was to be excluded from the message of Jesus' death and resurrection. Now in Acts chapter 3, we see this disabled man who was born lame from birth and was now about 40 years old. He was regarded as unclean and sat outside the gate beautiful, begging for alms. Peter and John are going up, filled with the Spirit of Jesus that was promised to be sent. And now they have, John and Peter, have a new worldview, a new authority, and a new perspective. Not money. Peter makes it clear, we don't have money. But we have something of a different order entirely. In verse 4, Peter and John really look at the disabled begging man and ask him to look at them. Peter and John are humanizing this man. They saw him anew in deep face-to-face, eye-to-eye contact, human-to-human connection. We are challenged right now in America and in Canada and major cities at this time, challenged to seek the well-being of our cities in prayer. And sometimes there's wonderful stories of protesters and police working together. And other times there's protest and looting of people's own communities. How do we look face to face, eye to eye, and human to human, making connection in a time like this? We're at the COVID virus, where we have our faces covered. At other times in history, I and maybe we have had compassion fatigue. There's always somebody looking for a handout, persons needing help. And I can't help them all. We can't help them all, and we get overwhelmed, and sometimes a shield goes up, where we're not even praying and asking for God's guidance and listening for his wisdom. But Peter and John, with the help of the Holy Spirit, break through the fatigue barrier and see the man who had been sitting there over a 40-year period of time or less, and they humanize him. They had grace from the Holy Spirit, as we need grace from the Holy Spirit in the racial injustices and tension and destructive aggression going on. Where human beings are turned upside down, frightened, concerned, how do we reconnect with each other? Offering what we have face to face with our masks on. Peter and John offered what they had. The name, the personhood, and the ministry of Jesus Christ via the Holy Spirit. And Peter says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking the gentleman by the hand, Peter helps him up. And God heals and does his miracle. Instantly, it says, the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began walking. More than that, he crosses a barrier that was in this lame man's life from the torn down curtain, that thick veil separating the Holy of Holies. And the healed gentleman went with Peter and John into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God, a grateful worshiper. People recognized them. People recognized the lame man now healed, and they were filled with wonder and amazement. And they come running to see what has happened. Holiness is not fragile. Peter is quick to say to the astonished crowd running to see the activity, verse 12, men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you look at us as if by our own power or godliness, we made this man walk? And Peter connects the acts of God with God himself. He connects the acts of God with God himself. Peter won't let the crowd acclaim him or John for the miracle. He says, no, this is what is their shared history of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers. He has glorified Jesus. In verses 13 through 15, Peter uses three names for Jesus. Can you find them in those verses in your Bible? He uses three names. In verse 13, it says, his servant Jesus. Jesus is known as servant. In verse 14, the holy and righteous one. You crucified the holy and righteous one. Jesus is holy and righteous. And in verse 15, he's called the author of life. Worthy of our personal acclamation and dedication and worship. Jesus, the Messiah's healing activity, happens outside the worldview of the Jewish temple, being the most holy place in Israel. The healing happened just outside the gate called Beautiful. Holiness is not fragile. It is very strong under the authority and love of the Holy Spirit. That's what the book of Acts reveals. Holiness is going to break down and go past barriers that will surprise even Peter and John and all the apostles and the early church. They're all going to be surprised at how far God's holiness will reach. I'm happy to be on the journey together with you as we wait upon God and see God's activity and ministry through Midway Community Covenant Church.